lots of friendly luck here. I'd like to start with a little personal experience I've been reflecting on. On Saturday, we have our regular first Saturday Mass here. Pray the Rosary. It was our usual routine. I remember reflecting on how Jacob was such a liar, and he got himself into trouble trying to make sure he got the blessing. Well, that story continues in today's first reading. But anyway, after Saturday's Mass, I was asked to go to the parish and do the baptisms of the babies. That's the regular schedule there in Mother of the Church. They have baptisms on Saturdays at 10. So I went there, and it's always a bit joyful and chaotic experience to do baptisms because, well, babies, for one thing, everyone loves the babies, and the parents and the grandparents and the godparents are all making a fuss. And sometimes the children themselves are squawking or crying or whatever. And but it's a joyful event because children and especially if it's the first child, boy, the family really comes out. All the relatives come and get all dressed up, and it's a big joyful, almost like a family reunion, the baptism. And then from that church, I went immediately to the wake of Rubelin's cousin who died. I don't know if you know this. She had a cousin close to her, same age, 40 years old. She died, and the dead woman had not been blessed yet, and she was going to be buried on Sunday, so they asked me to go and bless the body. So I went from the joyful baptism occasion to the very mournful wake funeral of Rubelin's cousin, and it was a very sad scene. First of all, she's only 40 years old. She had her four children were there. The youngest is about, I don't know, 6 or 7. The husband is there, deeply grieving. The parents were there. Her sister was there. Other relatives gathered around, and it was just a very sad experience. So, in my experience, I went from birth to death. I went from joy to sorrow in the space of a few minutes. And so that's why it struck me. This is the human experience, joys and sorrows, birth and death. But then, of course, the role of the priest is not simply to rejoice with the rejoicing and sorrow with the sorrowing. The idea of the ministry is to bring God into the picture, to bring a blessing into the picture. A baptism is not simply a human celebration, is not simply a family reunion, it's the beginning of a new life. It's actually a death and resurrection of baptism. Death of the old life, beginning of the new life. And I often say when I do baptisms, your children are going to be very happy when they get to heaven. Who knows when that will be? And they'll say, oh, I was baptized on this day, way back then. I was baptized. Because the life of heaven begins with baptism. Our eternal life, our spiritual life, begins with baptism. It doesn't end when we die, it continues in heaven. So at a baptism, the sacrament is more than simply the joy of having babies around and family reunions. It's a spiritual joy, a heavenly joy. Well, at a funeral, something similar happens. Yes, it's a time of great grief, but with faith, it's also a time to look beyond this world and beyond this valley of tears and look into eternal life. It's a time to entrust our dead loved one to the Lord and ask Him to grant her eternal life. So it's, again, it's not simply to grieve, but to take a step from this earthly experience into heaven. And it's a privilege of a priest to be involved in that all the time. I mean, that's part of being a priest, to constantly connecting earth and heaven. Well, today's readings, I think, are connected to my experience on Saturday. Certainly the gospel brings out these reasons for sorrow. I mean, this little girl died, 12-year-old girl, she died. I mean, of course there's a commotion, of course there's grieving. And then there's the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, hemorrhaging for 12 years. Of course, that's a sorrowful condition. And their contact with Jesus raises that earthly sorrow to a heavenly joy. But it's also an earthly joy because the miracles happen in this life. But they're signs to us of a joy that transcends death and transcends suffering, sickness. Well, you know this story of the two miracles are kind of intertwined. Matthew's version is quite short. It doesn't give us many details. Mark's version gives us all the details. And the name of the official is Jairus. He's the one who tells us that the girl was 12 years old. And Mark even preserves the Aramaic words that Jesus used when he raised the girl. Talitha kom, he says, little girl, get up. In Matthew's version, he just takes her by the hand and the girl gets up. So easy. But it's a resurrection. It's a passage from death to life. Jesus says, the girl's not dead, she's sleeping. Well, she was dead. She died. He's not referring to her physical condition, he's referring to her spiritual condition. And what he does is he awakens her to new life. It's a sign, of course, of the resurrection. Well, Jacob has to learn this step upward, this transfer from earthly experiences to heavenly experiences. And he's kind of slow to get it. We know Jacob from last week, he's a liar. He's an earthly man, really. And he's out to take care of himself. Well, now he's on the run because his brother is out to kill him. So he's fleeing, and he ends up at this certain shrine. And he has this dream, very striking dream, of the connection between earth and heaven. A stairway. The traditional term is Jacob's ladder, but it was really a stairway. In fact, the scholars usually say it was something like a ziggurat. A lot of cultures have these kind of pyramid structures to have religious ceremonies on top. Certainly they had them in the Middle East, they had them in Central America. There are these like pyramid structures that people built in their religious belief that in order to communicate with God, you had to go up higher, so you build a temple and you go up there and talk to God up there. So the idea of a stairway to heaven is not unique to this passage, but this is a revelation. It's not just an earthly temple, it's a connection between earth and heaven, the stairway to heaven, is the expression. And angels are going up and down on the stairway. Angels connect earth and heaven. So that's what Jacob sees in the dream. It's clearly an invitation for him to see that his earthly experience and all his scheming and the horizon of his life is being expanded to heaven. You know that this passage is mentioned explicitly by Jesus when he meets Nathanael. And Nathanael says, you're the Son of God. And Jesus says, you believe because I said I saw you under the fig tree. You're going to see greater things than this. You're going to see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That's what Jesus says to Nathanael. I don't know what Nathanael thought about that, but it's clearly a reference to this dream of Jacob where there's a stairway between earth and heaven. And Jesus is revealing himself as that stairway, the connection between earth and heaven, or the bridge between earth and heaven. Anyway, when Jacob has this dream, not only does he see the stairway, the Lord himself appears to him. And as far as we know, this is the first time Jacob actually met the Lord. He knew his grandfather Abraham had these connections to the Lord. He was a man of faith. Isaac had experiences of meeting the Lord, his father of Jacob. And Jacob had probably been told many times, you're the chosen descendant of Abraham and Isaac. But I don't know what he thought about that, because he didn't seem to live by faith. In any case, now he meets the Lord himself, and the Lord tells him directly, I'm the God of your forefather Abraham, your grandfather. I'm the God of Isaac, your father. And the land on which you are lying, I will give to you and your descendants. So the same promise is extended now to Jacob. In you and your descendants, all the nations of the earth will find blessing. So the connection between earth and heaven has something to do with you, Jacob. I want you to be the connection for the sake of your descendants. I will protect you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will never leave you until I have done what I promised you. It's a very stunning revelation. Jacob's response is, well, first of all, he's awestruck by it. Well, I didn't know. I was just sleeping on a rock. I didn't know this is a dwelling place of God. I didn't know this is a connection point between earth and heaven. I didn't know this is an abode of God, gateway of heaven. Now he's just stunned by it. So he makes a little ceremony to turn it into a shrine, a memorial stone. And then he says this strange thing. If God remains with me to protect me on this journey I'm making, etc., etc., and if I come back safe to my father's house, the Lord shall be my God. In other words, he's not really convinced yet. Even though he had this awesome vision of a stairway to heaven with angels going up and down on it, even though the Lord himself appeared, the God of his grandfather and of his father, appeared to him and repeated the promise that even though he had all that, he still says, well, if God remains with me, then he will be my God. Conditional faith, they call it, conditional faith. So, but the story of Jacob will continue, and we know we'll be reading some, not all of it, but some sections of it. But I think the lesson for us is, it's not always that easy for us to climb from earth to heaven, or to open ourselves to this connection. It doesn't automatically happen just because we see a miracle or get a blessing or are told about something that God did. We are so preoccupied with sickness and death, with our earthly problems, with our earthly plans and desires, that even when God breaks in, we're still a little bit conditional, or we tend to be conditional, and that's a weakness on our part. The Lord is patient with us. He does remain with us. He is our God. He does take care of us. He is with us in our journey, our pilgrimage through life. And he wants us to continue to make steps, even if they're baby steps of faith. Continue to trust in him. The story of Jairus and the woman with the hemorrhage is to show us what can happen when we really do trust him, when we really see him as our connection to heaven. Jairus, in this version of the story, his daughter's dead already. And he still says, if you lay your hand on her, she will live. Extraordinary faith. He's certainly not thinking in a natural way. He's thinking according to faith. And say with the woman, if I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured. If I can climb this ladder, if I can climb this stairway to heaven, I'll be cured. If I can make the connection to heaven through this man, Jesus, I'll be cured. It's a step of faith, or a touch of faith. And that's what we're being taught here in these passages. Yes, we have, like I said about my experience on Saturday, we have joyful moments, and we have sorrowful moments. We have accomplishments, we have devastating losses. But that's not the whole picture. As we learned yesterday, we don't rejoice simply because of what we can do here or what happens here. We rejoice because our names are written in heaven. And the only way we can know that our names are written in heaven is if we make this connection, as long as we climb this stairway in faith, to recognize that God is really with us. He comes down the stairway to us. He invites us on the stairway up to Him. And this connection is Jesus. So let us continue our journey with Him, in Him, so that we can experience the blessings that He has for us.